future belongs to those who dream big. The survey may be found at www.wpfwfm.org. Please submit your answers by June 30th. Thank you for your thoughts and time.
Greetings. WPFW is pleased to announce the relaunch of our major donor program, now known as the Jazz and Justice Circle. If you gave $1,000 last year or so far this year, you are automatically enrolled in this cherished group of listener members, and we thank you. Benefits of your membership are at WPFWFM.org under the Support Us tab at the top of the homepage is the Jazz and Justice Circle. Interested in joining this select group? Please consider a donation of $1,000 or more online at WPFWFM.org. Your donation helps WPFW build a better world one broadcast at a time.
I'm Kamaya.
I'm Amira.
I'm Kaya.
I'm Kamaya.
And you're listening to WPFW Washington.
Another man done gone. Another man done gone from the county. From another man done gone.
Huh? I don't know. What? I'm just going across the street.
Shut your mouth.
Oh, no. What'd I do?
Turn around. Put your hands behind your back. Let's go.
The jury of your peers having found you guilty, 10 years.
What? Come on.
I was in jail too, man. It's cold-blooded in the jail. You go down there looking for justice. That's what you find. Just us.
Welcome to another edition of Crossroads Today. Now here's your host, Roach Brown.
Oh, good morning and welcome to Crossroads. This is Roach Brown and Mertine, and we're coming to you live via Zoom on WPFW 89.3 FM, your station for jazz and justice. And before we open up with what we call the grapevine, information that you can use, the grapevine. Hello, the grapevine, information that you can use. Hey, to start off, I want to mention that last Sunday, a couple of days ago, WPFW had a Jazz and Justice Outdoor Festival at the historic Malcolm X Park. And let me say that kudos goes out to Katia Stitt, Mayuki, Lance, DJ Lance Rones, Joni Eisenberg, Robin Hole and everybody that made that thing a success. I can't call everybody's name, but let me tell you that the event on Sunday at Malcolm X Park was off the chain. It was very informative, enlightening, inspiring, entertaining, and professionally done. And I want to thank all of those, the vendors, the participants, the programmers who participated. That was one of the best events that we've attended, my wife and I. Sponsored by WPFW. So Katia, Mayuki, Robin Holden, and all the folks that made this a success. Thank you. That was quite an event. Also on Friday night, my wife and I went down to Westminster Abbey, the church down there. And for 30 years, Dick Smith has been hosting the jazz night on Friday nights. And I saw him 5 months ago in the hospital, and I didn't think he was going to come out of the hospital. He walked up on the stage in a walker. He had to be escorted. He sung three sets by leaning on his walker and cracking jokes and making everybody feel inspired and motivated. Hats off to Dick Smith and the folks that made that Friday night jazz evening at Westminster Church in Southwest Washington. It was quite an event. So we had a very full and fruitful weekend this weekend, my wife and I. So now we get to what we call the grapevine.
Recording in progress.
Or to give to the prison. Prisons and jails generate billions of dollars each year by charging incarcerated people and their communities steep prices for phone calls, video calls, e-messages, money transfers, and commissary purchases. A lot of that money goes back to corrections agencies in the form of kickbacks. But what happens to it from there? As it turns out, much of this money flows into special accounts called inmate welfare funds. These welfare funds are supposed to be used for non-essential purchases that collectively benefit the incarcerated population. In many cases, correction officials have wide discretion to use welfare funds as shadow budgets for subsidizing essential facility operations, staff salaries, vehicles, weapons, and more, instead of paying for such things out of their department. Their department's more transparent and accountable budget. We've been pushing this issue for some time, that the money that inmates and their families pay should go into that inmate welfare fund, but the majority of that money should be spent on inmates coming out, gate money, release money, clothing, medicine, housing, for they come out. Our money that we spend, the billions that's collected from prisons, are used, believe this, to fund sports teams, little league basketball, softball, football, for the correction officers' families, that barbecues and cookouts for the correctional staff. And it says the money's will be used for the incarcerated population. We don't see it. That's something that needs to be looked into and changed immediately. Here we go. Well, reforms without results. Why states should stop excluding violent offenses from criminal justice reform. States are increasingly recognizing that our criminal justice system is overly punitive, and that we are incarcerating too many people for far too long. Every day, 2.3 million incarcerated people are subject to inhumane conditions, often only limited opportunities for transformation, and are then saddled with lifelong collateral consequences that keep punishing you for the rest of your life. Yet as states enact reforms that incrementally improve their criminal justice system, they are categorically excluding the single largest group of incarcerated people, the nearly 1 million people locked up for violent offenses. These states are debating castration for sex crimes. Experts call it cruel and pointless. Critics say there's no evidence that castration prevents future sex offenses. Yet several states are weighing such measures, and it's growing across the country. Last year, Louisiana sparked a slew of sensational headlines when state legislators passed a law allowing surgical castration as punishment for people convicted of sex crimes against children. That was the first successful legislation in a new wave of bills proposing both chemical and surgical castration in states such as New Mexico, Mississippi, and South Carolina. This March, Oklahoma's House of Representatives passed a bill that would make chemical castration a precondition of parole in sex offenses involving a child under the age of 13. Woo, this stuff is terrible. Federal Bureau of Prisons issued directives to expand home confinement, advances first step. The Federal Bureau of Prisons has announced new guidance from Director William K. Marshall III, directing staff to expand the use of home confinement for eligible individuals under the First Step Act and Second Chance Act. The directive is rooted in the principle of smart, fair criminal justice reform, reform that began when President Donald Trump disrupted entrenched political paralysis and signed the FSA into law, delivering the most significant overhaul to the federal justice system in a generation. He spent years in federal prisons. Now he's helping to lead them. The Bureau of Prisons' new deputy director, past incarceration, is drawing outrage from some officers and support from some people still inside. I would never accept a former inmate supervising me, said a correction officer who works at a facility in Miami and asked not to be named because he's not authorized to speak to the press. When reached my phone, Josh Smith, the new deputy director, who is a former returning citizen who served 5 years in prison, Smith referred questions to the media office for the Bureau of Prisons. We called and tried to contact him and arrange an interview, but we wasn't successful. Smith, now 50, grew up in public housing in Nashville, Tennessee. He was convicted of multiple felonies as a teenager and dropped out of high school. In 98, he was convicted on a federal charge of conspiracy to possess and distribute cocaine and marijuana. It was said a correction officer who works at a facility. You got inmates, guys, men and women inside. I don't like using the word inmate. Those who are just as impacted were still inside. Most of them, or a lot, are saying they appreciate having somebody with their past experience with a criminal record to be in a position of power and authority inside of the Bureau of Prisons. And here's one last piece. On March 11, the Federal Department of Education announced the purge of nearly half of its employees, leaving students relying on federally insured student loans, facing processing delays and potentially predatory loan services, now unshackled from oversight. But no students were more at risk than those in prison because they can't easily call or email a loan servicer. Not only can they log on to a website with information without their accounts, leaving in limbo some 700,000 prisoners who became eligible in July 2023 for Pell educational grants, which are not administered by courts. And that's been the grapevine. And thank you for tuning in and listening. And we have an interesting show as usual. And we have a gentleman here who's made history on our show, of course, this country and in the city. Some of you have been listening to your grapevine for some time. We mentioned that unusual practice of men inside a prison sending us money to keep Crossroads on the air. We are a non-commercial radio station, so we depend on our listening audience to make donations and contributions and keep us on the air. And our guest this morning is one of the guys we talked about who made history here with Crossroads and a couple other programs. He was incarcerated for 31 years, and while incarcerated, he was sending some of his little earned, hard-earned money from the prison commissary account and donated money on a regular basis. He was the first inmate that we know of, or the first guy inside, who made a contribution on a regular basis out of his salary. I don't know, he'll tell you how much he was making. But this man has made history on our show as the first person who was incarcerated who contributed monthly or regularly to make sure the Crossroads stayed on the air. And I want to introduce our guest this morning. His name is Brother Alonzo Turner Bay. Good morning, Brother Bay, and how you doing this morning?
Good morning, Rose Brown. How you doing? How you doing, Martin?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing great.
We just found out over the weekend that Alonzo Turner Bay, give us a little brief history of your background, how much time you was in, what you went in for, and how long you've been home.
My name is Alonzo Turner Bay. I'm a just an impacted individual. I went to prison at the age of 17, in 1989, for a crime that happened when I was a juvenile. I served 31 years, 6 months, 16 days, and 5 hours. I went up for parole about four, maybe five times. It was on my last time that my legal team sought out the assistance and of then state's attorney Aisha Braveboy in her first term. Yeah. She had made a statement on the news that she, in 2018, that she was going to give individuals who were juveniles a second chance. So my legal team reached out to her. In turn, she sent a letter to then Governor Hogan, saying that Prince George's County does not oppose the release of me. I was later paroled and released October the 16th, 2020. So this October will be 5 years I've been released. I worked as a certified peer recovery specialist, certified peer recovery forensic specialist, you know, working with men and women who are being released from imprisonment, homeless population, transitional age youth veterans, you know, trying to make sure they do all, they get all the resources they needed to become successful and productive members in our community.
Let me say this. I've met you and seen you several times, man. I was surprised when you came out because you were sending us letters and money orders to the station regularly. And every time we go into programs out in PG County, I see you with Aisha Brave Boys team and different folks in the community. And you always had a smile on your face, man. And I want to appreciate that. When you told me the other day, that you were appointed as a director of the Office of Ex-Offender Affairs of Returning Citizens in PG County. How did that happen and when did it happen?
You know, Ms. Braveboy, who is now the county exec, She tapped me, asked me, you know, about the position I accepted to become the director of Returning Citizen Affairs for entire Prince George's County.
Beautiful.
The position was opened by another administration, but I'm the first individual who have been involved in the criminal justice system to hold this position. And it's such an honor, and I appreciate Mrs. Brave, Board of County Exec, for entrusting me with this position and giving me this opportunity.
You know, this is a very heartwarming topic or subject, because in 94, along with a few other returning citizens, we helped Marion Barry to get elected by registering all of the returning citizens, as many as we can, to participate in the election. And Marion came out of prison and got reelected back to the office of mayor. And it took us a few years to impress upon him the need for having an office of an ex-offender affairs within the executive branch of the local government. D.C. was the first. New York, California, and now as a result of this, other states are seeing the need of having a returning citizens on the executive staff within the local government to make sure that they participate in those decisions that's impacting those people who've been just as impacted. And I want to say, man, what Aisha Bravo is doing over in PG County and picking you to do this, to take this position, and you've been out 5 years, and man, every time I saw you or seen you, you were busy, you had flyers, you was involved, you didn't complain about the 31 years you did in prison, you wasn't mad about what happened. You hit the ground running, and you're still running. And I haven't seen nobody come out in less than 5 years to accomplish what you've accomplished as a director of the Office of Returning Citizens for PG County. Man, that is quite an honor for you to make that kind of accomplishment. How does that feel to you doing that? And what does that say to those men and women who know you, who are still inside and heard about what you've just accomplished?
Oh, man, first, it's an honor, man. I give all praise to God for it, man. Because without my belief in God, would none of this be possible. And second, I give big honor to, you know, Miss Brave Boy for tapping me for this position and allowing me to do this position. And, man, it just says that Prince George's County is about second chances. Prince George's County, you know, if you are a man or woman who coming back to Prince George's County, we are here to let it be known that Prince George's County is going to do all the things that's needed and necessary to make you a part of this community, make you whole. We're going to try to get you a employment, get you food stamps, get you Medicaid, get you health care, you know what I'm saying, get you training, all the things you need to become a productive member of this community. You know what I'm saying? So there's, you know, I hear a lot of people saying they can't do this, do that. Man, it's about applying yourself. As long as you apply yourself, man, you know what I'm saying?
Go ahead.
You know, when preparation and opportunity meets at that crossroad, success is the end result.
Yeah.
And so we want you, we're going to, you know, when you release, you got your opportunity. We are here to prepare you for that success, which is around the corner. You know what I'm saying? I let everybody know this ain't going to be easy. It's going to be some good days. It's going to be some bad days. It's going to be some ups. It's going to be some downs. It's going to be some days you feel like crying. You know what I'm saying? And I tell people, call me, because I've been through it. I know what it's like to walk around and don't feel good because, you know, you got what I call a freedom guilt. You experienced it, Roach, when you come home and you're doing good, but you think about the women and the men you left behind. Yes. It's called freedom guilt. But I let, man, we're going to feel it. But, man, you can't be guilty. So the only way to get rid of that is keep being successful. Keep moving. Keep working. Keep being a positive impact in your family and your community. Because every time all of us, Miss Aisha Brave Boy, when she was at the state's attorney, she is responsible for releasing approximately 100 men and women. Hmm. And not one has returned. Not one has recidivated. So this lets it be known that we can be released safely back into the community, and we are continuing to contribute to the community. So this is just an example of what can continue to happen.
You know, this is amazing. I remember when I was in, there was a guy named Pete Jackson who was at the youth center with me back in the 60s. He came out and got to be the deputy director, the deputy warden at the same prison that we were in as youngsters. You came out and did what you're doing. There's Walter Lomax. There's Stanley Mitchell. There's folk who did big time, man, and came out and didn't complain or chastise somebody for what happened to them. You hit the ground and look straight ahead. You didn't care about what the obstacles were. Whatever popped up, you dealt with them. And you dealt with them effectively and positively. And you dealt with them in such a way that you were brought to the attention of Aisha Bravo, the state's attorney, who decided to appoint you as the director of the Office of Returning Citizens. I've been doing this work for 50 years, man. And I've never seen nobody move as fast as you've moved, Alonzo, and accomplish what you've accomplished in being in that position. And I'm glad that you're there, because we need somebody with your experience, your vision, to make sure that those men who are just as impacted and women get a fair shake. What are some of your objectives, man? What do you see when people come out of prison? What are the two or three most important things they need? Because you've been through it. We all been through it. And you're still going through it. And you ain't finished with it yet. You're going to go through some more. But you said it. How do you motivate somebody else who have that justice guilt, that freedom guilt? They didn't feel like they can't make it. What do you tell them? How do you get them on location?
One of the first things, you know, I tell people, man, I don't know what they may believe in, but put some trust in your higher power. Put some trust in God. Once you put some trust in God, think about what your plan is. And I tell every man and woman when they get released, bring your release papers, that jail ID. We can help you get food stamps, same day, help you get health insurance. With that release packet of papers they give you and that jail ID, you can go down to the MVA and we can get you an ID. These are some of the most important things you need when you come out. We always talk about Maslow, higher orders of needs, the hierarchy. Shelter, food, clothing, and employment. We want to put some paper in your pocket.
Yes.
I'm not saying I'm going to give you no money, but I'm going to give you all the resources that's needed to put some money in your pocket. Okay. I'm going to give you the chance to get a job. And I tell people, man, don't be ashamed of where you came from. All them jobs you had in prison, put them on your resume as an employer of the state of Maryland,
yes,
as an employer of Prince George's County. That count. Them jobs count.
Yes, yes. Yeah. You know, that was one of the things I used to be concerned about. The guys would be glad to take the job as on the tier, as a tierman, mop the tier, bring the food, and clean up the toilets, the showers, et cetera. And they would just fight for these little jobs. You may get 10 cents an hour or 10 cents a day. And they fight for them. Here they come out in the street, and they won't even touch these kind of jobs. You know, but in prison, it's a status symbol to have any kind of job, especially a tierman or being able to give out the laundry or the food or work in wherever you work at inside.
My first job when I got out, Roach, for the first 6 months I didn't work, I was doing activist work, you know, to help push legislation through Maryland. After that, I got a job as a flagger. I was making $13 an hour.
What's a flagger?
You know, the brothers and sisters who stand on the construction site with the Lord signs, telling you, directing the traffic. Yeah. I'm standing out in 100-degree weather. Like the weather is today, I would have to be out there for 8-10 hours flagging in the sun for $13 an hour. People are like, man, how can you do it? I say the same way I got up every day. And I work 10 hours in that kitchen for 85 cents a day.
85 cents a day.
At least I'm making more than that on this job. And at the end of the day, I got, you know what I'm saying? I can take and put something on the table in a house that I'm staying at. So we got to get our mindset. We got to change your mindset. Because if you don't change your mindset, you got that what we used to say, that stinky thinking.
Yeah.
You can't have that stinky thinking. You got to change your mindset, man.
Yes,
you want to be successful in life.
Yes.
So, you know, the same energy we use selling drugs, robbing banks, jumping across counters, sticking people up and doing all that, use that same energy in doing something right and watch the success you get.
Yes. You know, this is, you said you made 80 cents a day.
85 cents a day.
And yet you sent us a few money orders from prison, from your prison pay. Why did you do that, man?
Because, man, the cause that which Crossroad is doing, what they standing for, the information that they giving to men and women across the nation and even in other countries. It's needed. And man, I felt it was important. You know, even I still feel it's important that, man, to support in any little way you can get. You know what I'm saying? Making $18-19 a month, you know what I'm saying? It ain't no money.
Money,
for real.
No,
that's a peanut. That's one peanut. But to contribute, knowing that the contribution is coming from my heart.
Beautiful, beautiful.
You know what I'm saying? It's coming from my heart. And that shows that not just me, but other men and women who were in prison were sending their $5, $10, or maybe yes. some may have sacrificed and sent the whole $18. It shows Crossroads. It shows you. It shows your wife. It shows your staff behind the scene that, man, what y'all doing is heartfelt. What y'all doing is reaching the people that it need to reach. And it was just a way of showing our appreciation, man, and showing my appreciation to you.
I want to say, my wife and I both want to say thank you from the bottom of our hearts. And for those other folks who are just as impacted, who are still on the inside, who make $8 a day or 5 cents a day, some guys don't make nothing. And they find a way to send us $5, $10, $15 to make sure that Crossroads stay on the air. And as you just heard, Brother Turner Bay said, this means something. And the show has this kind of impact that we're sharing information that folks can need, folks need and can use. And man, I'm glad that you are the one that Aisha Braveboy tapped as a new director of the Maryland Department of Returning Citizens, or PG County Department of Returning Citizens. What are some of your plans or your vision as the new director of the Office of Returning? What is it you see that you want to bring to the table to improve the situation for those persons inside and people coming out?
One of the things we do, we want to do some incentive work. We want to make sure that we can get the men and women who are coming home mm-hmm. jobs, get them jobs that can pay an affordable wage, affordable living. You know what I'm saying? Give back to our community. I always tell people this. We remember the story of Frankenstein, the monster that went wild. It was only one person who can control him, the doctor who made him. So if you don't have the individuals who created this problem that we are having in our community at the table, you can't solve it.
There you go. There you go.
You want to solve the issue of what's going on in our communities, all this crime, all this violence? Look at these men who coming out. Look at these women who coming out. Bring us to the table. And Miss Braveboy has done that. I'm not the only one. There are other members she had brought to the table. Bring us to the table and hear what we got to say. We got and listen to and let us go out in these communities and talk to these young brothers. Talk to these young children and let them know, man, that life you living ain't going nowhere.
Yes.
It don't lead you number two places, prison or the graveyard.
Yes, yes.
And when they see individuals who have lived the life what they want to live and they see the end result and say, man, I can show you a better way. I can take you somewhere. You want to make $100,000? Get this CDL and let me show you how you can see the United States of America and get paid at the same time. Get this HVAC license. Get this plumbing and heating license. Get this welding license. Get these certificates for culinary arts and things of that nature. Become a bus driver. Do something where you can, the same money you're trying to get, you can get it, and you ain't got to worry about looking over your shoulder and see if somebody else trying to lock you up or come get you.
Let me ask you this. You just was appointed, and you're taking this position, and she won as the new county exec, Aisha Braveboy. I'm impressed with her because she's been on our show a few times, and we've been through a few activities, and every time I go, I see you there in the audience with her. And I want to say, man, that besides you, there's Leslie Johnson, who used to be the first lady, Jack Johnson's wife in PG County. She appointed her first as to be the director of Returning Citizens and Serp Affairs. Then she moved on to another position with the new administration. Aisha Braveboy is not only talking the talk, but she's walking the walk. And I've seen so many people here going, state's attorney, hiring returning citizens, making it possible that Second Chance Act, programs inside of Maryland get people, like you say, 100 people were released and nobody's been recidivated. It ain't talk, it's action. And you've seen these actions all played out all across the board. And I just want to say, man, that I hope you get the right staff and the people you need, because I know where you're coming from. I can feel your commitment, your passion. And when you hit the street and you came up to me and said, man, I'm Alonzo Turner Bay. I met you about 7-8 years ago when I came over to Maryland State Department of Correction. Was that Jessup, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was like 2017, 2018. You came, Tony Lewis came. The sister you had from MBI, you know what I'm saying?
Why did you remember her?
I made it my business to remember everybody you brought in. Charles Thornton.
Yes.
I remember everybody you brought in because, man, I asked you, I say, Roach, man, you know, a lot of people who were getting returned to PG County in D.C., we don't know about no resources. We, you know, and you say, man, I got you. I'm going to bring some people in with me. And you brought your little entourage in.
Yeah.
And man, you don't know how thankful I am and how thankful the men who was there were that y'all came in and provided some resources. And all I can do now is take that and build on, and you know what I'm saying, and go out into community, go inside the institutions and provide them with the resources that they need to be successful upon their release and coming back into this beautiful county. Gorgeous, Georgia. Gorgeous Prince George's.
All right. This is WPFW, your station for jazz and justice. Listening to Alonzo Tuna Bay. This is what you get when you listen to WPFW. Now, Roach, you started DC's Office of Returning Citizens, which was probably the first.
Yes, it was, 94.
But what's so disheartening so much to me is that all our brothers inside are just working for slave wages. What do we do? Because this is insanity. The great minds that we have and these black men every day in prison getting less than a dollar a day. Of course, we're not going to prosper or grow. What do we do? I ask this every week. Yeah. Everybody.
Oh, go ahead. I think one of the things what we need to do is a lot of talent in prison. A lot. The talent is untapped. But as family members, and I try to encourage everybody who has someone inside, I'm not saying send no money in prison. Write a letter. A letter with a few pictures mean more than a $50 money order.
Yeah, $100 money order.
Yeah, it means more than a money. Money order, I can go to commissary, buy some food, 24 hours, that food gone. But you send a letter with some pictures of grandma, pictures of granddad, pictures of mom, pictures of brothers and sisters, aunts and uncles, people who you haven't seen in 10, 15, 20 years. Just send a letter. You know what I'm saying? It ain't got to be early. You send a letter this month. And what you do is you get certain people in the family. Look, I'm going to write a letter this month. You write a letter next month. Hey, get the kids, write a letter. Do the little painting where they got the little kids. You know how the little children paint them pictures. Yes. Paint the picture. Send it to them. Y'all do. Those little things encourage. Those little things bring life inside of that cell and give that man, give that woman inspiration to look forward to their release and look forward to the family that they have. So, you know, keeping in touch and keeping that bond means a lot. So when a person come home, you let them know, yeah, you got some support here. We're going to support you as long as you're doing the things that's needed and necessary to make your life better today than it was yesterday. And that's all I ask families to do, to support their loved one.
You know, it's amazing. A lot of folks listen to our show and say, we don't want to be involved with them returning citizens and whatever you want to call us because they broke the law. But the bottom line is that 70% or 7 out of every 10 black males has been arrested or been locked up in contact with the criminal justice system. 70%, so 7 out of every 10 black males. Then those who haven't been arrested or locked up have a friend, family, one or loved one or buddy, somebody incarcerated. So incarceration in prisons and the criminal justice system is a big part of the black experience of our community. So understanding how it impacts us and affect our lives and things like that. The bottom line is that we need to make sure that, like what you just said, we communicate with those folks inside. And I don't know how you're able to do what you did. After 31 years, man, it takes four to 8 years just to try to readjust, try to get back into the swing of things. You were gone for 31 years as a teenager, 17, and you come back, you in your 30s or your 40s, and here you got a job that's having a impact and really helping to turn people's lives around. What is it that you would say to those people who are still in, who are listening to Turner Bay, who have been inside there 31 years? What would you say to them that's inside, who's just coming, getting ready to come out?
Let me say this. everybody in prison always talk about, I want to go home, I want free, I want this. It's a difference. It's just wanting to be free and then needing to be free.
Go ahead, boy, preach on.
It's a difference. See, yeah, we want this, we want that, but I need to be free. See, my father passed away while I was in prison, but I need to be here for my mother.
Yeah.
I need to be here for my brother, for my sister. I need to be here for my community. So, man, in Maryland, people of African ancestry make up 13% of the population, but they make up over 70% of the prison population.
Prison population. 13% of the regular population.
Over 70% of the prison population.
Oh, black male.
So, man, remember this. You got to give yourself an opportunity to be a winner. You got to give yourself. Ain't nobody got to give you no opportunity. Don't nobody owe you nothing. Go out here and prove that you are not what they say you are. You are not the person that you live. Them are some mistakes you have made in your life. And what you do is capitalize off those mistakes and keep moving forward. A stumbling block there is for a reason. It knock you down. Use the energy that God gave you. Get up, dust yourself off, and keep going.
Yes, yes.
Keep going.
Hold on a minute. We got a call on. For folks who want to participate in this discussion with Brother Alonzo Turner Bay, the phone number is 202-588-0893. We'll take our first caller. You're on the air, please. Question or comment? Hello.
Hi. Good morning. Gwen Levi speaking.
Well, hello, Gwen Levi. How you doing?
I'm great. I'm great. You know, Mr. Turner Bay, I had to call in.
How you doing, Ms. Levi?
I'm doing great. I was trying to get your number. I just asked for your number from Lionel Singh. So I got, okay, I'll be in touch. But this is another thing. Listen, what you said about the employment, we got to figure out how we can stop these companies from making so much money inside the prisons. Yes. And then when we come home, they will not give us jobs.
Yes, yes, yes.
Millions, yes. Millions of dollars off of us. While we are inside, and then when we come home, we can't even get jobs with them. After working for them 20 years inside, 15 years we worked for them inside. And we come home, and we can't get a job even with them. Come on, we got to do more about this employment situation inside. And the only thing that we can do, and I know with the current administration, we might not have too much luck, but if we don't bring up repeal of the 13th Amendment, which allows this incarceration,
during
which allows
slavery,
to be paid those minimum wages, those dollar wages versus minimum wages inside. We got to start fighting for getting minimum wages inside these institutions. We got to, because it's a disgrace.
You're right.
You know,
you raised two important issues, though.
I used to make $5.20 a month. $5.20 a month. And I worked 8 hours, 6 hours a day.
And how long were you in?
16 years, but I didn't work for all that time, so don't even worry about that. I didn't, because I refused to work for MCE. I refused to work for MCE. I did suicide watch instead, where I thought I was doing more to help somebody.
Yes.
Because working for MCE, working for the Maryland Correctional Enterprise at $75 a day was not working for me.
Wow. See, now you said a couple of valuable issues that we need to stay on. And I hope, and I know that Turner Bay will push it. And I get an opportunity to raise this with Aisha Brave Boy. But we need to make sure that, as you just said, that we get livable wages inside, and you get paid comparable wages for the work that you do inside, because you have to buy everything inside. Folks don't realize that when you go to prison, ain't nothing given to you. You need to have money to survive and to make a phone call, to buy toothpaste, deodorant, et cetera. It costs money to be in prison. It costs money to stay
in
jail.
It's costing even more now that they got tablets and all that other stuff that you got to pay for everything you put on the tablet.
Yes.
So, Mr. Turner Bay, I will be calling you, because you know I want you to know about the women's issues going on. So I will be calling you after the show.
Thank you. Thanks for calling in, Gwen. We appreciate you, young lady, and hope you and stay safe. Again, she raised raised several issues, but a couple of them was about the employment for those men and women coming out, and to get a livable wage or money to be paid while you're inside incarcerated and working. And you work for these companies that have contracts with the prisons. And when you get released, you can't get a job. One of the things that popped in mind is the fires in California. They trained all these guys that were 2,500 to be firefighters, but they are on, and when they get released, they can't get a job at the fire company. For 5 or 6 years, they work fighting fires while incarcerated. And the minute they make parole and got released, the fire company or the fire department would not hire them, even though they worked 5 or 6 years while incarcerated. So this kind of double standard or these collateral consequences that keep punishing us and punishing you for no. Oh, yeah, man. I was over, my wife and I, we went over to PG County Detention Center last week. I don't know if you know about this, but we drove up on the parking lot, and we had to pay to park to go to the jail. Then you go inside. If you want to leave $50, you got to give them $5 or $10 processing fee to go in. It costs money. Even we got drove on the parking lot. We had to pay before we even got to the prison to park. Then you go in and leave some money. You got to pay a fee to leave some money.
The fee is almost half. It's ridiculous. We left $10 and it costs $5 to leave 10. And that doesn't happen anywhere else but in prison. We have got to make changes in prison. It's insanity. We are still paying for everything the same as we were doing slavery. We're the ones on the low end, and we're the ones who are charged the most, always.
I think what needs to be happening is, like, some of these issues are not like local issues. They are legislative issues. They got to be taken up in Annapolis. Because, see, what we got to do is start holding our lawmakers accountable.
There you
go. If you want to know why certain things are being done. So wherever you live, you got to take it to your delegation, you know, whether it's a senator, whether it's a delegate, or the whole body at where you live at. And you got to sit down, and I'm going to be honest, some of these issues, your delegation may not even know about it.
Yes, right.
They got so many other issues going on, you know, and I'm not saying or trying to defend them, but it is our job as a community when you face certain issues like this, you know what I'm saying? If there are issues like this that need to be taken on a state level, you got to take it to your state senator or your state delegate. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
So, and I say this to everybody, see, a lot of us, especially those who are just involved, let me say this, if you live in the state of Maryland, anywhere in the state of Maryland, regardless of what your criminal past look like, you have a right to vote.
Yes.
You have a right to vote. Now, if you don't exercise that vote, that's on you. I can't force nobody to vote. But one thing I can say this, if you don't vote, you don't have no voice. Because you can't get mad at a person who is doing what their constituents ask them to do when you chose not to participate in the electoral process.
I
encourage every man, every woman to vote. Get your family to vote. There are certain communities in Prince George's County and Washington, D.C., where we don't register to vote. First thing we say, man, my vote count. The most important elections in your life will be on the state level. Your governor, your state delegate, your state senator, your county council, your county executive, your police department, your sheriff department, your municipalities, these are because they are the ones who will dictate the tax revenues, how your life is played out in the state and cities. So, man, we got to vote. We got to get out and vote. And in Maryland is one of those states, the same day you walk out of prison, you can vote.
Beautiful.
The same day I walked out in 2020, it was an election, not even 15 days later. And I voted. I participated in that process, and I voted every election since then. County council, mayor, county exec, delegates. I voted. Why? Because I need my voice to be heard. And when I vote, I go out there and I talk to them about the issues that concern me and my community.
Yes, you have. Yes.
You got to get involved.
You know, one of the things that impresses me with you, Turner, is that this voting thing is crucial and is necessary. And I'm glad that the climate is right. The timing is right. We got the right people seem to be moving. And we got folk who might be listening to some of the things that we say. But the right to vote is crucial, man. If without that, you wouldn't be where you are right now. You know, but what I want to ask the question is, for those folks who are listening, who may not be as informed or enlightened or as knowledgeable as you are, because you came through at a time with some bad guys, man. You had Walter Lomax coming through there. You had Stanley Mitchell. You had guys who were activists inside the prison who were knowledgeable about the legislative process, knowledge about the community, the prisons, and you combine all them skills, and these gentlemen are still doing things, and you are a direct an example of those men who've been involved inside. You was involved, and you stayed involved in politics. I don't know how you got involved in politics while inside, because we came over, that guy Ray Lewis, the football player for the Baltimore Ravens, he came over with us that same day and made some powerful comments and statements. But I want to say, man, you are an example to folks who are listening to the show that you can come out. I don't care what you've done. It ain't what you've done. It's what you've become. And you've become a honorable, upstanding, right individual. But not only that, your heart's in the right place. We can feel your passion even through this damn radio. And I'm looking at you on Zoom, but I can feel your fire. I didn't know you had this kind of fire in you. And I done seen you 7, 8, 10 times. And we never talked this much in the 7, 5, or 6 years that I've known you, except this morning. And man, we should have been had you on. We have another caller on. You on the air, question or comment for Brother Alonzo Turner Bay. Your name, please. Hello.
I am Mama T from hello. Can you hear me?
Yes, you're on. Yes.
Good morning. Can you hear me?
Yes.
This is Mama T from Arlington, Virginia.
Can you turn your... Okay, she hung up. Okay. All right.
Okay. One thing that I want to mention is what's going on right now with all of these immigrants, undocumented, whatever, being just snatched off the street. This is what Black people, what African Americans... The way
we grew up with that.
Right. The KKK with their hoods on, that was the lawyers, the doctors, the preachers doing that, terrorizing us in our communities, burning down what we built, stealing from us. Enough. The caller's back on.
Our caller's back on. You back on the air, young lady. Question or comment, please?
My comment is going to be really quick, and then I have a question at the end. I wanted to thank you all for that wonderful program at Malcolm X Park. I quickly recounted to you on that day of the trigger that I got when I returned to Lawton, because that's where DC used to be.
Right. I remember you. Yes, we spoke.
Mm-hmm. Yes. So my question is, and everything that you all are saying is great. I did want to comment that the two biggest institutions housing the most Blacks right now, I believe, is prisons and churches. And I would like to put out a call to action to everybody, even if the church has chased you out before, go to the church and make them accountable, because we do have a lot of returning citizens and they don't have the services that Brother Brown is talking about every time he comes on the show. So my question is, if anyone out there listening today knows whether Virginia has an office for returning citizens like you have in D.C. and Maryland, can you please call Brother Roach and leave the information so that I can get in touch. Well, that was
you're right.
Around.
Yeah, I don't know if Virginia have one, but it's quite a few programs over there providing services for people coming out of prison. We go over and speak at a couple of churches. So if somebody know that if there is such an office, please call, leave a number with the engineer, and we will forward it to
because
you. And I'm
we
glad
lost
we had
a lot of land. We lost a lot of land in Northern Virginia due to the people being locked up. The drug wars here, and so now there are a few of us left. And so we would like to help the people that are returning after all of these years and years of incarceration so that they don't have to beg, borrow, and steal, which is what's happening out here.
Yes, yes.
So that we can help our brothers and sisters and call on the churches to help. Now, when we're in the churches, we can ask them for help.
And your name again is?
I am Titileo Abdul Salam, the messenger.
I like that. Say that again.
I am Titileo. It's from the Yoruba language. It means happiness is eternal.
Right.
And Abdul Salam, because I married Mr. Abdul Salam, God rest his soul. He was a Vietnam veteran. And it means messenger of peace. And that's what I bring. Happiness.
Thank
is
you.
The messenger
leave your peace. Leave your name and number with the engineer. So when somebody call in with that information about what's going on in Virginia, if they have an office of returning citizens, We'll forward that information to you.
That would be great. Thank you.
And thank you for complimenting the staff for pulling that a program off Sunday, that Jazz and Justice Festival at Malcolm X Park. Folk, if you missed it, it was quite an experience. It's one of the few times we had that many hundreds of people there. I didn't hear no profanity, was no cursing. Nobody made no scenes. Everybody was respectful, honoring everybody's space. It was just the atmosphere and the vibe was one that you would enjoy just being there, just to see this kind of activity. So again, I hats off to those folk who pulled it off from WPFW, Katia, my UK and all them, and Lance. And man, thank everybody for what they did. Turner, one of the biggest problems that we're encountering here in DC and all over the country that as we get word is housing. We don't have affordable houses for those men and women. And when they come out, because they live 30 or 40 years inside a prison in a regimented, structured cell block or a little cubicle, you had a little bit of space, and that space became very important. Anything around your bed was sacred. It was yours. These men, I understand, they got living habits that they've grown accustomed to, being able to come out. One of the things is I tell my wife that there's a masculine side to the bed. Folks don't realize that, because when a husband and a wife in the bed, the man sleep on the side next to the door or the stairs. So he's the first line of defense. When you go to prison and you come out, your wife moved over to your side of the bed. You may have been gone 5-10 years, and she don't understand that you've been accustomed and used to this particular side of the bed for a lot of different reasons. Some of them dealing with your survival or safety. But when you come on home, being able to adjust with your wife and family on how you sleep or what side of the bed you sleep, or being able to have somebody in the bed, which is, because it's hard. When I came out, it took me a while. When I got with my wife, I couldn't nobody test me while I'm asleep. We'd be in bed and she'd roll over and test me, I'm up. You become so sensitive to little teeny things that folks in the street are not even aware of. So housing, is there anything, or I noticed it should be on your agenda?
Yes, housing is on my agenda for the women and men who will be returning to Prince George's County. So that will be something that I will be tackling, the housing resource, or at least the transitional housing resource.
There you go.
You know what I'm saying? For men and women who will be returning back to this beautiful county. Like what you just said, the space. I just moved in an apartment, got my own apartment, you know what I'm saying? But one thing about this work, I haven't been fortunate enough to be in a relationship yet. And the reason is I'm at this work. I've met some women, but the few women I've met and engaged in, they've all said that I'm too consumed and involved with the struggle.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
To be in a relationship. But some people don't understand that the dedication that comes with this. Some people are not as sympathetic that come with, and to have a county exec that is sympathetic and that understand this work and that's willing to allow a person who has been through this to lead this office is just amazing and just a phenomenal. So one day I am going to be looking forward to, I got a king. I sleep in a king size bed. I sleep straight. Some days I sleep sideways or whatever in the bed. But like you say, man, there is a dominant side. Yeah. You know, you got to sleep by the door. You got to sleep where you can see the door and be able to react to the door. If anything come across that door.
Door, you got to take care.
Yeah, because that's your job duty. And it's sad to say that social media has made the role of a man and a woman so convoluted and distorted that, you know, it's like women, if they see a man, they want you to pay for every single bill. If I'm working and I'm paying all the bills and you working, what are you doing with your funds? And I see that a lot with relationships. Yeah. And so,
okay, our time is up. We're out of time. My guest has been Alonzo Turner Bader, new director of the PG County Office of Returning Citizens. Man, I am really glad that we got you on. We should have been had you on, man. I didn't know you was this deep and how deep you're in it. But again, I know your passion. I see you everywhere. Ain't nobody got to tell me what Turner Bader is. I see you, man. I see what you're doing. I see that you're there. Action speaks louder than words. I want to thank you. We've been bringing you back, Alonzo Turner Bader. Thank you for joining Crossroads, my wife, Martine, and I. and stay safe, and we'll see you soon, and it be before Christmas. And also, we don't take no jiggy-boogie on this show. We give you the real deal, Mac Neal, so no jiggy-boogie. Thank you, Alonzo Turner Bay, the new director of the Office of Returning Citizens of PG County.
Appreciate you. Thank you very much. Okay. I appreciate you. I look forward to coming back.
You know, you'll be back, Jeff. You can bet on that. The warden will prove that.
Let him know I messed his count. No, no, baby. Say, leave it. No, 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 no. Inflation. No chance to increase finance. Bills pile up. Sky high.
On Monday, June 30th, WPFW presents The House That Wanda Built 2025, our annual Pride special programming. From 2 p.m. until midnight, WPFW will broadcast voices from the Inside Out Collective and beyond, discuss issues affecting the LGBTQIA+ community, and present music from the Anthology of Booty and the Ladies Room, honoring the life and legacy of Washington, D.C.'s beloved Black lesbian activist Wanda Alston. WPFW, building a better world, one broadcast at a time.
Hi, I'm Renee Bowser, a staunch trade unionist and host of a new WPFW program, Unionism Drives Community, airing Thursdays at 5 p.m. We will share the importance of knowing your rights in the workplace, the impact of unionism on working class advancement beyond the workplace, and how unionism can activate robust community among all of us. That's Unionism Drives Community, Thursdays at 5 p.m. WPFW, building a better world, one broadcast at a time.
The WPFW Local Station Board's Relocation Committee is in the process of re-envisioning what studio space for a progressive, community-based, and community-supported radio station should be in the coming decade or more. We wish to ensure that a new, more permanent home will meet current needs and those less foreseeable in the future. All WPFW stakeholders, listeners, donors, programmers, staff, community activists may share their thoughts and insights about the future space by taking the location survey located on the WPFW homepage. Be creative in your answers. The future belongs to those who dream big. The survey may be found at www.wpfwfm.org. Please submit your answers by June 30th. Thank you for your thoughts and time.
Greetings. This is Papa Wabe inviting you to check out my new showgram, Free Your Mind with Papa Wabe, every Thursday morning from 2 to 5 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. We present a mashup of positive, uplifting music of different genres, mainly roots reggae. We also feature poetry, speeches, artist interviews, and so much more. That's Free Your Mind with Papa Wabe, Thursday mornings, 2 to 5 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, here on WPFW 89.3 FM, making it a better world, one broadcast at a time. Free Your Mind!
Are you in the process of writing or updating your will, trust, or estate plan? We invite you to consider adding WPFW as a beneficiary through a charitable bequest. Bequests can take many forms and are usually the largest and most impactful gift a donor will ever make. Your bequest will help to ensure the programming WPFW has provided for almost 50 years will continue into the future. More info available by email at plannedgiving@wpfw.org or by phone at 202-588-0999, extension 344. Or you can let us know you've already included PFW in your plans through those same channels so we can add your name to our growing list of legacy listeners. We are listener supported. We are Jazz and Justice. And because of your support, we are